Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club. Please welcome to the stage your hosts. It's Alex and Pete.
Yes. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Big Old Boothman.
Big Old... Well, I don't want to say Big Old Boothman.
No?
He's not big.
Regular old.
Regular old. Regular young.
I'm not regular old. Yeah.
Guys, very exciting night. It is about to be a big snow day here in New York City. So we're gonna
Wait. Sorry. Justin's texting me, wants to know if we're on stage.
Oh, just tell him we are on stage. Justin, in case you don't know, is the third co-host on the show. He has another job that he goes to before this. We get paid a lot of money to do this show.
I gotta tell you what.
Yeah. We get paid definitely a living wage to do this show. Oh. But for some reason, Justin has another job at the same time that sometimes keeps him a little bit over. So he's running a little late. He'll just run on stage and
it's
do whatever.
It's very understanding of us to be okay with this.
Yeah, we're, would you say, the greatest human beings?
I don't think I would say that about myself.
I definitely would. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight.
Yes.
He is the creator of the book Kaleidoscope City. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcellus Hall!
Yeah! Welcome to the show, sir!
Hello.
Yeah, welcome!
Come on out!
Have a seat, have a microphone.
Hello. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please come sit down. I'm excited you brought out a backpack so that you're ready to leave at any moment. You're just going to jet right
out
of here.
Well, I mean, it's not like he should trust us with his stuff, you know what I mean?
No, exactly. No, that's true. We how many shows have we stolen people's stuff on? All of them?
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
Yeah, there you go. I'm excited to chat about your book. We were talking about this a little bit backstage. You started as a musician and then transitioned into comics, so to speak. What caused that? What caused you to sort of flip away? I mean, I know you're still doing music, but over to the comic side of things.
Yeah, well, you know what? Actually, I have to clarify. I started as an artist.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, in elementary school, constantly drawing.
Yeah.
And then I learned to play music later. And then I had parallel careers.
Oh, nice.
Interesting. Were comics, though, was graphic novels, et cetera, was that something you were a fan of as a kid?
Well, I loved Mad Magazine, things
nice.
Like that.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah, I mean, I was steeped in it and marinated in it. Graphic novels, per se, not necessarily, no. But Robert Crumb, you know, things like that influenced me. And I always loved comics.
Cool. Right. So then what led to the decision to actually make a comic book yourself?
I think I'd always loved the idea. I wasn't necessarily a comics person. I don't even consider myself one, whatever that means. I don't devour them, per se. But, you know, I love... Here's Justin, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is Justin. Justin Marcellus. Marcellus Justin.
Sorry
nice
to be
you.
So late.
No, it's fine. We explained that you've taken on a second job other than Comic Book Club.
Just like to fill out the rest of the week, just
yeah,
for fun, because
exactly,
this obviously
exactly.
covers all of our expenses.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, this hour every week pays for
full-time
everything.
Full-time job.
Yeah, full-time job. Anyway, you were saying, so you transitioned over
what
to comic
saying?
Books.
What was I saying?
Well, let's talk about Kaleidoscope City. Kaleidoscope City. I'll definitely learn how to say that by the end of the show. What is the idea of the book?
I know what I was saying. I was talking about loving words and loving pictures, drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally that led me to comics. And the concept behind Kaleidoscope City, I think, is about trying to distill drawings and distill words and make a sort of poetic, if I can use that word, meditation or something about living in the city and something that's sort of personal and surreal. These are words that appeal to me, that I wanted to convey that feeling.
Do you find when you're structuring a comic, does it have any sort of the structure of music? Do you find you're channeling any of that at all?
I think so, yeah. The idea of distilling things to their essence is important, or whatever that means. I guess what I mean is like taking words and chiseling them down and taking drawings as well and editing them and whiting things out to give it to let them have the most impact. That's important to me.
I know this isn't necessarily what the book is concerned with, but something that I always find fascinating, and we always get like a slightly different answer whenever we have a guest on the show who talks about having a musical comic book. Like we've had people who write The Archies, you know, or have brought in the Ramones into a comic book. We have other books where it's just they have music in the book, but what I find so fascinating about it is comic is a silent medium. You know, it's a lot of other things, yeah, but one of the only things it's not is there's no sound coming out. So have you found it difficult to remove that part when you're writing the book?
No, I mean, that's interesting what you say. I did find a connection, though, between the rhythm of a song, mm-hmm, which is the drummer or strumming the guitar, whatever, can be like the turning of the pages of the book or the panels of, you know, in a comic. It's, yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Like, rhythm is important in both aspects.
So it's a full translation of the song, music and lyrics. It's not like you're trying to cram it in or anything. It's like a transmuting, like, water to ice.
Exactly.
Transmuting.
Wow. You know.
One of the things...
It's called freezing.
Huh? No, freezing. It's a... You can call it whatever you want.
Oh, nice.
One of the...
Thanks, dude.
One of the things that I love about the book is it's there's a lot of beauty. You talk about the city so much, and there's love there, but there's also main characters talking about loss and is kind of heartbroken. Now, someone who... It lives in the city or works in the city. Is this like your kind of love letter to the city? Is it? Are they true stories of loss? I mean,
I was trying to imagine what it would feel like if you felt heartache.
Right.
Oh, have Whoa. You never felt heartache?
Oh, you should try it, man.
Yeah,
that's pretty
so great. Cool. Be careful; you'll get addicted to it.
No, I'm kidding. I did feel it once or twice, but I was channeling that, and I was interested in how the city can be a motif in that when you're in that realm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's been so well worn, though, that channeling the city through that with movies and songs and everything else. Did you have any trepidation about taking it on yourself, or did you feel like I have my own take, I have my own way of thinking about it, and I'm going to push that out there?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's the, well, heartache is definitely a well-worn subject, but through the city, you're saying as well, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not saying,
yeah.
I do think that this book comes at it in a different way, but I think, you know, it's the same thing as saying.
Yeah, try not to put down our guests.
No,
I didn't
feel
done.
Offended, or but I did.
Did you feel heartache?
I was just trying to get you to finally feel it. That's what I was trying to
do. Finally feel heartache?
Yeah, okay. For the first time.
I'm starting to feel it.
Well, let me ask you a different question then. So this is your first time doing a comic. I feel like I'm actually going to be harping on something here, but we always make mistakes when we get into it. So what was the first thing where you realized where you're like, oh, crap, oh, I did that wrong. I got to go back and fix that.
For me?
Yeah.
What was the first thing?
Yeah, through comic form.
In comics.
Yeah. He knows about all of our mistakes that led us to this moment.
Wait, you mean like when in the process
of
this book?
Well, like in the panels. Okay, I'll give you an example. So I wrote a couple of comic books back in the day, and I know that like figuring out how to... Shut up, guys.
Here we go.
Every show, find a way to get it in there.
I know that when I was trying to figure out how to structure a page and structure the pitch and like write for the panels and write for the artist, I made huge mistakes right out of the back, and I had to go back and fix it. So I was curious if there was one thing that you're like, oops, nope, did that wrong the first time, got to fix that the next time.
Right, that's a good question. I think, I don't know if I can think of one right off the bat, but like keeping the words to a minimum and having them fit on the page is critical, mm-hmm, when you're writing. But I sort of allow myself a lot of margin for error because I decided not to use the traditional panels that comic books usually use. I was interested in something a little more free, and I wanted to you know, illustrate each page almost as if it was a painting in and of itself, and then add words or not, but try to create a rhythm and a sequence.
Are there any books or pieces of art or anything you looked to for inspiration for this?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, I have lists, and I could even pull it out, but the influences range from musicians to authors to cartoonists to all kinds of things. But for one thing just popped into my head right now when you asked is Myra Coleman and her book, Principles of Uncertainty. She does like children's books. She does that Max the dog. Have you seen it?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. And then she's done some New Yorker covers and things. She's really good and does all these gouache paintings. Anyway, she did a lot of some things for the New York Times that were periodic, you know, like every, I don't know, week or day or something, and they evolved into a book. She's done that twice, and they're really beautiful, and they're kind of, I definitely got inspired by that. You know, they're cool. Observant, and they're heartfelt. And
When you say gouache painting, what does that mean?
It's a type of watercolor paint,
okay,
but it's more opaque than watercolor paint, which is usually more transparent. Mm-hmm.
It's like gouache, but gouache.
That doesn't help me, but thanks for trying.
Yeah.
Where can people pick up the book?
It's available online right now, and at the bookstore in Brooklyn, Desert Island Comics, which is where we just had a launch and a signing. But right now, it's available on Amazon and at Bittersweet Editions, and can be easily got that way.
Cool. All right. Very cool. Awesome. All right. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
Hooray. And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with Justin's pick.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. Just to change it up a little bit.
Oh, wow. We never do this.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Marvel 2-in-1, number 4 from Marvel Comics. Justin, you want to chat about this book a little bit?
Yeah, Justin, let's chat about this book.
Cool. Yeah, Justin.
Sort of a weird dare you guys are doing. So this book focuses on the Thing and Johnny Storm, the two remaining members of the Fantastic Four. We haven't seen these guys for a while. They've been on a little vacation. I've missed them, and so it's nice to see them back. And what I love about this book is Reed Richards.
I'm a little worried about what you love about this book.
Reed Richards and Sue Richards are gone. We don't know where. They're presumed dead. Yep. I have a feeling they're not.
That's scary.
But we know that they're not.
Yeah, but I mean,
we
the
don't
characters.
Know that.
Right, the characters don't know that, but we know that they're not. They just don't know where they are right now.
Well, true, but I mean,
it's like when you lose your keys in your house, like you know your keys in your house, but you don't know where they are.
Someone told them that their keys were dead.
Yeah.
So that's
feel that when you lose your keys. You're like, well, they're definitely gone forever, even though I know they're somewhere in the house.
Great. But that's people are.
Do you
want to
talk about this a little more?
No.
Have we talked about the comic book, please?
No, I don't think so. Let's talk about keys.
Because they seem to be dead, the Thing has lied to the Human Torch, saying that they just have to find them. They have this device. They're going to go find them. Mm-hmm. And they have to because their powers are starting to fade because of the they've lost half of the team.
Right.
And I think that's just a great metaphor for the Fantastic Four. And I really like that. They are only at their full strength when they're together. They need to be
that's
together.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I really like this.
Yeah, but can we talk about what things that happen in this book? Because it is fucking super sad, and I'm a little worried about you liking this book. Cause
why? What,
it's
what's
depressing.
Your axe to grind?
Well, first off, we find out that there is a universe where Reed Richards is insane. He's lost it.
Don't you think there's a universe where you're insane?
No.
It might be this one.
No, that's definitely not a thing. I'm pretty sure in all 52 universes, Pete LePage just strays
Let me say
zero.
Straight up, no fucking way. You're clinging to your fingernails in this universe. In the rest, certainly others have let go.
Oh, man. Okay, so I don't want to even get into that. But so that was depressing that they travel to this different universe to find Reed Richards. They find him. He's out of his gourd. No sign of Sue. Then they find out that not only did Galactus try to attack, but Doom beat him back. And Doom is Galactus. And Earth is the only planet that he hasn't eaten. That's a crazy.
Yeah, but have you ever found out that your keys were the only planet that hasn't been?
Right? Yeah, no, what about that? So have you ever been like, oh, I lost literally everything but my keys?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Yeah, but I was happy to have
it. I mean,
because that got me right out of that situation.
Eventually.
Anyways, my point is, this is a crazy book, and I read this, and I was like, what?
That's what I like about this. They're telling different stories in the Fantastic Four universe, basically, that has been so lost for so long. And we're seeing these characters do totally different things. I mean, this is like, I'm surprised you don't like it as much as you like Cosmic Frank Castle Ghost Rider, because it sort of has the same...
The Thanos book that we've been enjoying, yeah.
So how is this different?
There's a lot of things different, but I don't know, man. I wasn't prepared to see Reed Richards that messed up, and it put me in a weird
place. Can I just mention, just because this whole thing is looking for half the Fantastic Four, it's looking for Reed Richards, and it's looking for Sue Richards, I was a little disappointed to actually see an alternate universe Reed. Like, I felt like that blows up the spot a little bit. Like, they should not exist in any universe until they actually find them. You know what I mean?
I take that. I agree with you. Yeah. That was a little weird.
But that said, I also, at the same time, the art is great in this book.
So good.
It's really fun, and it is a really fun book. There's good stuff that they're seeding. There's a point when they're kind of falling through the multiverse, and Johnny Storm is like, wait a second, is that? And then they blip away, and that's just such a nice little moment that you know, oh, they're going to loop back to that at some point.
So, yeah, will they?
It's playful.
Yeah, it's playful. They're setting up so many things, and it's two in one. It's like Almond Joy, where most comic books are mounds.
Oh, wow. Now that's an analogy. So let's just, if we can, as usual, track the Alex Zalbin metaphor matrix.
Yeah, here we go.
Old man lost his keys and candy bars from the 1950s.
Yep.
So we are hitting on all cylinders.
I'm moving back in time with my references, not even the 1980s today.
Alex, let's talk about your pick.
Yeah, Max Headroom.
So this show has been great. There is a guy, he's on a TV screen. He got talks like this, but my actual pick is Star Wars Darth Vader number 13, also from Marvel Comics. You want to take a look at this one, Justin?
Hey, let's get a look.
Yeah, sure. So this book is great. This is by Charles Soule.
What would you say is
great
about
this? Why are you so on our nuts this episode?
I don't know.
Yeah, Pete, get off our almond joys.
I don't know, man. I've got an axe to grind. Well, I want answers.
Okay, so here's what I like about this book.
Tell me what you like about this book.
That's what I'm actually trying to do.
Please.
I am actually doing that.
Hurry up.
I am trying to, and you're interrupting, and you're doing the same thing you always get very angry at us for doing.
How's it feel?
Great.
Good.
So what's great about the Star Wars Darth Vader books is it's always hard to do a villain book to make people identify with the villain. Here, they don't even try. You know, they didn't really exactly try with Kieran Gillen. Here with Charles Soule, he kind of does it at points, but then kind of pulls away from it because Darth Vader is such a blank character most of the time.
Yeah. He's sort of like a force of nature in this book.
Yeah, like some sort of force. I don't know what it is. Anyway, in this book, he's
like
heading
water
to
Mon
Calamari, the place that Admiral Ackbar comes from.
Yeah.
So we get like a little Admiral Ackbar action and some other Mon Calamari action, so that's a lot of fun.
That dude's dead.
But also, the thing that I loved about this book, they start out with a flashback from the end of Star Wars Episode 3, and they reverse
it. You like that?
It's this dream that Darth Vader is having, where instead of him getting beaten down and burned by Obi-Wan, he does the same thing to Obi-Wan, and it plays out the same way. It's cool. I am always a big fan of somehow redeeming moments from the prequels, and he does it really nicely.
So you like the fact of like, hey, let's take a not good movie and revisit that to start the book.
That moment is good, though.
And then set the superhero on fire, and then let's start the book from there.
Yeah, man. If you can set a superhero on fire, that's a great way to start a book.
Are you looking forward to the redemption of Watto? From
Watto,
yeah.
I gotta tell you, the first time I ever saw myself represented on screen is when I saw Watto in The Phantom Menace.
Oh, that's horrible. That's a horrible thing to say.
Come on, Annie. Oh, man.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is just this comic... is just evil stacked on top of evil here. So if you're an evil person, you ought to check this book out. You'll like it.
There you go. Let's move on to go ahead.
I was going to say, do you read any of these comics? Are you a Star Wars fan at all?
I love the movie, yeah, but I'm not informed.
That's all right. Yeah. Have you watched any of the recent Star Wars movies?
I haven't.
No, great.
All right, that's fine. This one takes place in the past, so
right.
If you want to pick it up.
Don't feel obligated or guilty for not reading it.
We'll collect your money at the end of the show. Don't worry about it. All right, let's move on with Pete's pick, which I'm sure is going to be totally reasonable. Weapon X, number 15.
Yes.
From Marvel Comics. Oh, I'll pass this your way so you can take a look, sir.
There we go.
Pete.
Dream team.
What's your deal? Why do you like this? What's going on?
Looks like the chickens have come home to roost, Pila Page.
So we've got the dream team of Fred Van Lente and Greg Pak.
Together?
Working together. Together on one comic book. I mean, what's
Which
not
comic
to look?
Book?
This book.
Oh, this book. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about this book.
So this is a very sweet story, okay? Because even people who you hate,
okay,
it shows that there is still a little love there. So on Wolverine's birthday, his old buddy Sabretooth comes to visit. And, you know, old man Logan here, you know, he's old, doesn't have many friends in this dimension. But, you know, Creed doesn't forget his friends.
They're
so,
old buddies,
it's just kind of a love letter to each other. And you get a nice fight sequence throughout history. And it's just, you know, it gets me choked up. It's a very emotional book.
So if you're not totally familiar with this, this is something that is well-worn in Marvel Comics history, that Wolverine, every year on his birthday, Sabretooth tries to kill him.
Yep.
Like, legit tries to kill him and fucks up his life in the worst way possible. They flash back to that. Well, one of the first times he did it is when he killed one of the loves of Wolverine's life, Silver Fox. And Sabretooth looks at it as like, hey, this is a fun thing that I'm doing where I try to kill you.
It's a tradition.
Yeah, it's a fun tradition. And Wolverine's like, no, do not do this.
Yep.
In this issue, he's like, I am not the Wolverine you know. I am 50 years older than that Wolverine. I killed you already. I am actually going to kill you this time. Do not make me do this. And it's fun. I mean, I was a fan of Chris Claremont X-Men back in the day. So this is a nice throwback to that. And it's really enjoyable.
I agree. Those old X-Men traditions, I feel like we've lost some of them.
Yeah, we have.
We don't get baseball amongst the different teams. We don't get yearly murder attempts like we used to.
You gotta follow traditions.
Yeah.
Like when I saw Watto celebrating Hanukkah.
Oh, shit. I don't remember that part of the movie.
I made a separate stop-motion Watto Hanukkah special
for myself. Good. I feel like everybody must have been so on board with that.
Yeah.
That's something people love about the Star Wars
canon.
People
are like, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, but.
Speaking of what's cool, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
All you have to do is ask a question. You're going to get some free comics. You, sir, right over there.
Oh,
I'll just come over to you, or actually come over here to me. What's your name? What's your question?
Kevin, I got a couple of questions.
Oh, great. Hey, Kevin. Oh,
perfect.
First of all, going off what we were just discussing, do you have some comic-based traditions that you like? You know, maybe like a particular issue like you read like on a certain day each year?
Ooh.
Oh, that's great. Great question.
Oh, very good question. Oh, did you have more questions?
He does.
Okay. Just wait, though. You can answer this one and then come back.
Yeah, so comic book traditions here. This cord is a little short. So
yeah, right. You can sit, Kevin. Yeah, we can all keep this loose.
So comic book traditions. Marcellus, do you have any comic book traditions or traditions you follow in general in your artistic life? Like, did you have anything when you're going out and doing a gig or something? You're like, I got to do this before every gig.
A ritual.
Well, no, but I was just discussing with my friend about how important it is to draw on a regular basis. It helps me, you know, like therapeutically. Even if you know what I mean? Like, even if you don't have a plan, just put your pen to the paper and it helps ideas.
Cool.
Cool. That's good.
What about you guys?
That's not quite the answer to that.
No.
That's good. Yeah.
What's great is it's kind of inside your process a little bit. So thank you for sharing that.
What about you guys? Pete, comic book traditions?
I mean, I have like a ritual, you know, when it comes to Wednesday and getting my comics, that it's, you know, making sure that I go to the comic book store, get my comics, and then, like, my favorite part is the subway ride home from the comic book store, because I get just to get lost in the new comics.
Now, let me ask you this. How do you do it? So you go to Midtown Comics, yeah, the sponsor of the show.
Well, I go there because it's my favorite shop, but yeah, also yeah, it's a sponsor of the show.
Yeah, because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Great. I don't know why you guys have to bring it up.
Taking away any of their niceness.
I'm not... It seems like you're undercutting their niceness by talking about their...
It's not undercutting at all. It's nice of them to sponsor the show, and they have been nice enough to sponsor the show.
It's nice on nice.
Okay.
So when I go, I don't always go on Wednesday, but the day of the week I go, I get the comics, get on the subway, I pull them out, put them in order, and then I put them back
in
and pull out one.
So what order do you put them in?
Well, it changes. Obviously, each week it's a different top comic.
Right. Do you put them in like that you're going to read first to last?
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I do the same thing.
See? But how, to get even more specific, how do you order them first to last?
I think this is such a great question. So yeah. I feel like top are the ones that are a little more like, this is a comic I'm just trying to keep up with the news of. Like, your Walking Dead, your Saga. A comic that is, like, not
now,
super...
Do you put your favorite... The one that you're most excited to read that week? No?
No. It's sort of type of comic. So it'll be a type of comic like that. Then I'll go into, like, Batman. I usually stack the Batman Detective Comics, those type of comics, and then get into a Marvel section, X-Men, blah, blah, blah.
Ooh, wow.
And then I get into the more, like, image stuff that requires some more, like, savoring and thinking about. I'll save those for later so I can look forward to them, because they're more of a meal. Well, like, Walking Dead seems like a snack to me.
Wow.
It's like a little, like a flavored potato chip.
That's kind of how I do it as well. I usually, like, if you have a big event comic book, that's the one that I'll put first, because I don't want to get on Twitter before I read that in case anybody's talking about it. So
here it is with Twitter with this guy.
Well, no, but seriously, like you said, the news. Like, I think it is actually, like, got to check out what's up in the latest issue of Infinity Countdown to find out what the news is about all of these characters with the Infinity Stones. So you read all of that stuff. One thing that I've tweaked in my process recently is I used to, after the news ones, put the ones that I was actually really excited about. But I found instead what I do is I stack it with the news ones, the ones that I'm kind of ambivalent about in the middle, and then the ones I really care about at the end.
That's a much more mature reader's stack.
That's what I do.
Because what I find then is what I was doing was I'd read the news ones quickly, so I'd be like, great, got it. I know what's going on in the big event stuff. Then I'd read the ones that I really care about. I'd be like, that was great. And then I'd be like, I have to read these things.
Name what comics you're talking about.
Aquaman.
So I do the same thing, because I used to just kind of go through my stack, but now I put when I open it, I order it from least favorite to favorite, so that way...
You read your least favorite first?
Yeah, the one I'm not excited about that I just got to keep up with it.
Got to get through the vegetables.
Yeah, got to get through this, to get to the
good
stuff.
Before you get to the main meal, which I assume is a hot dog or something.
Can I mention the even crazier thing that I started doing recently? I started not buying comics I don't want to read.
That seems insane.
I know. It makes me feel crazy, and I'm not going to do that
anymore. I've never even attempted that.
No, I'm going to go back to buying everything.
Just go buy your comics, put them in order, and then throw them all into the garbage.
What?
Because you obviously don't give a fuck about any of those comics.
Sorry.
You monster!
I'm sorry.
That was a great question. I don't think we've ever answered that question, and I love it.
There you go. You had more questions, though. You, sir, come on over here.
We also have a Twitter question.
I'm lazy and tired. All right.
Hey, Alex, we also have a Twitter question, too.
Oh, hold on. He has another question, though.
I know. I'm just
what's your name?
You know.
What's your question?
My name is still Kevin.
Okay. Oh, hey, Kevin.
A lot of people change their names.
And I'm going to go back to what our guests had been discussing at the beginning about translating, music into the comic form, not like a specific song, but just the feeling of music. Mm-hmm. And across any medium, any media, plural, what are some of the best translations of one, form of art into another that you think you've ever experienced?
Wow.
I
mean,
I already said my answer. Obviously, ice transmuting into water. But please, Marcellus.
I'm a little bit stumped. I'm like, you mean like from one
one art form to another?
Yeah.
So like a book into a movie,
yeah,
or
like
a
Captain America into Captain America Civil War. Or something.
Oh yeah,
like
man,
that.
I that's can't. What a stunning translation.
Yeah. No, you're saying actually, like, yes. I we get
music
what you're
specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not necessarily music. I'm just repeating this for the podcast. Not.
I see.
A movie based on a book, but a movie that maybe captures a feeling of another.
So a genre or a piece of content that captures the feeling of another.
Like Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
What?
Alex, I feel like you're not helping me.
like you're not.
Why don't you let...
No, but that was like a feeling.
What was the feeling?
Yeah, what was the
danger?
Yeah.
Danger, yeah.
Avoid?
Yeah.
Caution?
Mm. What do you guys think? Do you guys have an answer for that?
What about those movies that were trying to capture that feeling of comics, like American Splendor? There was a movie about
Ooh,
that.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Right?
Because that was about the medium
movie
as well.
Yeah. My favorite part of that movie is like during the shooting of the movie, they just pan over and you see the real people sitting on set watching the actors play them. And it's such a fun moment.
Yeah.
Let me throw out there, the first thing that came to mind, which is maybe a little bit off the question, was capturing the feeling. I feel like the comic book, we've talked about Craig Thompson a lot recently on this podcast, but his book Blankets, I feel like captures like that first big romance in your life in a way that is somehow, I don't know what exactly he did, but it feels so real and seamless how he did that in that volume. If you haven't read that, it's like just a seminal work.
That made me think of, and I don't think this is exactly the right answer either, but The Get Down on Netflix.
Yes, dude. Thank you for talking about that show. I fucking love that show.
It's great. The thing that's crazy about that show is they try to edit it and put it together like a piece of music. Yeah. So it doesn't feel like a narrative necessarily when you're watching it. It feels like the rhythm of them remixing something over and over, and the cuts until you realize that feel weird because they sometimes overlap and sometimes like things get repeated a little bit. But once you realize, oh yeah, okay, they're doing the type of music that they're playing around with in the show, it starts to get really cool and really involved.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's when we talk about, you know, the feeling of something, like, it makes me think of a lot of things. Like for me, when I smell SpaghettiOs, I immediately am transported back to being a kid and at my grandmother's house. And so, like, I always keep a can of SpaghettiOs in my apartment just for fun feelings. But like, when I watched,
sorry, I mean, this actually is a wonderful story, but every once in a while you smell a can of SpaghettiOs?
No, I don't smell it. I just look at it.
Oh, you look at it. Oh, okay.
Because if you would smell, it'd be too...
yeah, I'd be all of a sudden
like,
I'd be
you
don't
have
old
an
again.
Old, like, decades-old open can of SpaghettiOs.
But that's Stranger Things to me. Like, seeing that, like, really brought me back, and I feel like it's such a fun translation of like childhood and riding around bikes and like imagination meeting kind
was
of
was your
world.
Grandma a Demogorgon?
No.
Okay.
How dare you talk
I'm
about
I'm just
my
trying to bring
like
this
that.
All together and
I
figure
will
it out.
Stab you in front of everyone.
So your grandma would serve you SpaghettiOs?
Yeah, grandma.
And you would, and you would watch Stranger Things together? What's
His grandmother wrote Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Your grandmother is the Duffer Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of
them.
So you just revealed your kryptonite. Like, the smell of SpaghettiOs is going to, like, that's your Achilles heel.
Man. Yeah, no matter what
that'll
happens.
That'll distract you long enough for us to take you down.
Yeah.
Whenever I want you to do something, I'm going to open a can of SpaghettiOs and watch you Pepe Le Pew your way across the room. Fly through the air, nose first, and crying until you get to the camp.
Yeah. Speaking of crying, we have a question from Twitter, Pete. Do you want to
kick
yes.
That's where people cry on the internet.
Yeah. Ashy G wrote in, what's a one-shot comic about an incidental character you would like to see, i.e. Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra?
Ah, I see. Mm. Sort of like a C or D list character get a quick one shot.
Now, I think of like there's a bunch of non important characters that have been getting a lot of love lately, which is fantastic, like Squirrel Girl, stuff like that, which is doing amazing. But I think the thing about incidental characters is the reason nobody puts a spotlight on them.
Because like Foggy Nelson.
Dude, fuck you.
That guy doesn't need
to. Can I mention something about Foggy Nelson? I know you're getting upset, but I just want to say one thing about Foggy Nelson. So I'm still not very far in Jessica Jones season two. I'm only about 2.5 episodes in.
Yeah, good luck, dude.
I know. So I was already like, oh, my God, this is a slog. And then halfway through episode two, Foggy Nelson shows up, and I was like, oh, this show just got worse.
Yeah, turn off the spotlight and keep that guy.
Dude, I can't believe. Dude, fuck you for saying that, man. Foggy Nelson is absolutely phenomenal.
Exactly. With a name like Foggy, you know he's cool, because fog is the coolest weather.
Yeah, it is.
Let me posit something to you. What if Foggy was actually the worst?
Well, it's weird. I mean, there are all these infinite realities. Maybe there's
52 of them, according to you.
Yeah, but maybe
in all of them, Foggy is terrible.
No, that is not true, man.
You think there's one cool Foggy?
Yo, all right, first
cool
off.
Cool Foggy.
You couldn't have Daredevil without Foggy.
Sure you could.
Look at any recent Daredevil.
No, there's no way you could do it.
In fact, when Daredevil became Daredevil, there was no Foggy.
No.
Uh-oh.
Daredevil couldn't hold down a job without Foggy Nelson.
Foggy hasn't been in the last 20 issues of Daredevil.
I'm not talking about recent. I'm saying the creation of Daredevil. Like, he had to have a guy to lean on to help him to be who he is. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened.
He had to have a lawyer.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
No.
You have a lawyer. Right?
I'm talking about a friend who could be there for him and help him out.
Elektra.
Yes, Elektra is kind of like his Foggy Nelson. Sure, I'll give you that.
That is a crazy story.
But
what are we talking about?
We're talking about
incidental
D-list
characters. Yeah, I would say Jim Gordon is my favorite
character. He's not a C or D-list character, though.
Yeah.
He's kind of a side character.
He's B-.
Yeah.
That did make me think of, though, one of my favorite things. We've talked about this before on the show when we had, I think it was when Corey Michael Smith was on from Gotham. One of my favorite things about Gotham is watching the news anchors on Gotham who get increasingly insane hair. And I know that's not necessarily a comic book character, but I'm always super fascinated about the people who continue to live in Gotham City despite every single item of sense in the entire world.
It's gotta be so cheap, the rent.
You need to leave.
The rent has gotta be so cheap.
You are definitely going to get turned into a clown or frozen, or flowers are going to pop out of your body at some point. What are you even doing?
Flowers, that's what's going on
and,
right
and
now.
And there was a story about people who like went on a date in Gotham City and had to deal with the fact that they were in Gotham City and just like living there. And I love that stuff. I think that's great.
Yeah, that the series Gotham Central, I feel like sort of dealt with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first character that comes to mind for me, Jarvis. I want to see what Jarvis the Avengers Butler is up to on a daily basis. Does he get any personal time? He doesn't seem to have a lot.
Well, Alfred's also a good kind of...
We've got enough of Alfred.
Well, no, I don't think we have.
I would love to see an amalgam version of Jarvis and Alfred.
Oh, yeah. That'd be, what a crazy crossover.
Jarfin.
Great stuff.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Great. Thank you for your Twitter question. And that is it for your audience question.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think we're going to move on to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage, the star of trivia.
All right. So this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience.
The star of trivia rises again.
I hate you so much.
Take us on a journey into facts.
It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will do. You casually first hand up, guys. Sure.
Oh, here we go.
You could have had $25. Could have been yours.
What's your name?
It's Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Great.
That seems unlikely.
Kevin, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 is yours. Today's trivia is on our amazing guest. Kaleidoscope City, the graphic novel by Mr. Hall, is about heartbreak and exploration. But what did the famous Bob Odenkirk say about it? Is it A, it made my heart beat again, B, It's the snow globe that is New York City, or is it C, Better Call Saul rules? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick another answer.
I'll go with A.
A is correct.
Great choice.
I thought that was an amazing pull quote. It made my heart beat again. I mean, how could you not buy the book after that?
No, he was in cardiac arrest for like several minutes. Yeah. This book really saved his life.
Saved his life. Here we go. Question number two. Mr. Hall is also a musician. Which band hasn't he performed with? Is it A, Railroad Jerk, B, The Hostages, or is it C, Breaking Bad Rules? So it's either, well, it's actually C.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you are correct. Way to agree with me.
Wow, I like it that. That question sort of startled the star of trivia. The answer caught him off guard.
Stop
acting,
saying that.
Acting
please.
Is reacting, star.
Stop saying that. Okay, here we go. Last question. The City I Love is a book of poetry for children illustrated by Mr. Hall. He has done a bunch of amazing books for children. Which one hasn't he done? Is it A, Everything Sleeps, Everyone Sleeps, sorry, Everyone Sleeps, B, Because I'm Your Daddy, which you guys should get, by the way, yeah. Or is it C, Mr. Show Rules?
I'm going to go with C again.
C is correct. $25 is yours. I will give you your gift card after the show. Come see me, sir. Thank you.
That is
all right,
great.
Guys.
Wait, I have one quick question before we go. There's a massive blizzard coming to New York City, maybe starting like literally right now.
Right.
So it's to shut down the city all day tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow in the comic book world?
Oh, boy. Like,
what will you read on a day where
you
may
should
be
watch Jessica Jones is what you should do.
Yeah. My two kids have a snow day. So I'll be like, hey, kids, why don't you sit down and watch the second season of Jessica Jones with me?
That's a bad idea.
Perfect. They're going to be like, 13 episodes seems like too many.
They're going to start drinking and being very violent. I wouldn't do that.
Honestly, what I'll assure them is I'll be like, guys, we're starting 2.5 episodes in. Don't worry, you missed the Foggy Nelson scene. And they'll be like, thank fucking God.
Your kids swear like sailors.
Only when Foggy's brought up, which is totally fair.
That's not fair. I allow them. I've told them. It's okay.
No, it's not.
We have a channel.
You know what? My son is 3 years old. And he said the most adorable thing to me the other day. He said, and he has this like high squeaky voice. He said, Daddy, Daredevil is fine without Foggy Nelson. He doesn't actually need Foggy. And I was like, you're right, son, and I love you.
You should have said, don't let Uncle Pete hear you say that because he'll knock your block off. And then
Jesus Christ, fuck you, Pete. Stay away from my son.
Well, I won't. If he's going to walk around saying bullshit, I'm not going to let him get away with it.
I mean, listen, stay away from my son. Wow. But don't stay away from Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Hold on. What are you going to do in your blizzard day?
Oh, are we still doing that?
Yes, it's a question.
Are we still doing that bit?
It's not a bit. It's a question. I'm genuinely interested.
Well, I'll be working from home, but I'll also be, while working from home, side-watching...
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy. Oh, that's a great idea. I haven't seen that in a couple weeks. Yeah. I should watch it.
A couple weeks. I haven't seen Tommy Boy in a couple weeks. Wow. Treat yourself.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's... Oh, I didn't watch Lucifer, so I'm going to get caught up on that.
Is that still on?
I love that show. You watch your mouth.
You watch it because it's going to go out the air soon.
Don't say that.
You watch it, please. No one's watching
Lucifer is like the Foggy Nelson of DC comic book shows.
Oh, my God. You don't even watch it, so how could you even say
that? I would rather not watch Foggy Nelson.
Oh, wow. It's a great show.
What will you do on your blizzard day?
I think I'll just I have a graphic novel in my living room now that I'm reading it. I just got it from the library. It's called I, Parrot.
Parrot?
Yeah, it came out last year, and I forget the name of the author, but the illustrator is who caught my eye.
Oh, nice. And you just grabbed it sort of like, let me just give this a try.
I saw it somewhere, and then I put a hold on it at the library, and it came to my library.
Oh, nice. Wow. So it's been floating around.
Cool. Another great thing to do, actually, is go buy new comic books at Midtown Comics online, of course, because it's a blizzard, but...
Oh, yeah.
Pete... What are you looking forward to? What are you picking up?
Oh, man, there's a lot of great stuff coming out. I'm going to... New Thanos is coming out. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Also, Weapon H, number one.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a combination of Wolverine and the Hulk. Man, have we gone too far, guys?
Let's hit all the letters.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't think we've gotten far enough. I think he needs to be a Punisher as well.
You think he needs to be part Punisher, part Wolverine, part Hulk?
Yeah.
Weapon P. You just blew my mind. That would be amazing. Man.
Yeah.
His family was killed by a gamma bomb that gave him powers, and then he was experimented on and gave claws and stuff. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then put what other stuff do you like, Pete? Put that in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, and maybe he could be, like, some sort of lawyer's friend.
Yeah, he has a job working in a law office. Any sort of a schlub.
Half Wolverine, half friend of a lawyer. What are you looking forward to, Justin?
Thank you for explaining that comic. I'm looking forward to Kill or Be Killed, number 17. Mm. This comic is it's an Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips jam.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
and it's fantastic. It is one of the best books out there.
That's like saying, oh, I'm looking forward to Saga. Yeah, we all are looking forward to that
comic. I feel like maybe not everybody's reading that.
I don't think so. I think it's a different scale, I got to be honest.
No. Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to Ice Cream Man number 3 from Image Comics is coming out. The art in this book is gorgeous. And it's
a creepy,
like,
weird book, man.
It makes me mad that you're into it. It's not exactly like Twilight Zone with an Ice Cream Man. It's kind of indescribable because every issue has been different, but it has this low level of terror going on, even when nice things are happening, that is unlike any other book that I'm reading. It's
just like great. When any ice cream truck stops near you.
Exactly.
I think they're actually capturing.
Like, oh, here we go again. We're going to eat all that ice cream.
Disaster.
It's going down the old gullet.
Here goes, I'm going to blow $1.35 on something.
Marcellus, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Besides Kaleidoscope City.
Yeah. Well, they should check that out.
Yeah, well, I've done a number of children's books, as Pete mentioned. They're on my website, marcellushall.com. One of the books I illustrated and wrote, it's called Everyone Sleeps. I also am a musician, so you can look me up online. My name, it's on YouTube. And then we have a couple albums that we did in the past couple of years that are available.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have your bro is going
to
be on.
That's not how he likes to be referred to. Yes, my brother has a gambling podcast.
Oh, boy. Are you worried about him?
I bet he doesn't.
Oh, wow. You're going to lose that. you need his advice. So he and his partner, Vinny Buono, are going to come on the show. They have been working on some geek bets for us to talk about and maybe a gambling-based quiz.
Oh, are we going to get to bet on anything?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Am I going to lose my shirt?
So bring a couple shirts, because that's the currency everyone works in, and get ready to win or lose some money.
All right, very cool. Great. Also, this show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you want to throw some money in the hat over there, or if you're listening online, patreon.com/comicbookclub. In addition, we do a couple of other podcasts you can check out in the regular Comic Book Club feed. There's a Stack podcast with new comic book reviews that drops every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Also, we're going to be jamming a bunch of other things on Wednesday.
Oh, man. We got
a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that rolls out right after each episode. And we are launching our Krypton podcast officially this week. You can subscribe at After Krypton in its own iTunes and Google Play feeds. And that's going to be a fun one to talk about, I think.
I am very excited. I've seen a couple episodes.
I am not.
Great.
Okay, great. Great.
Cool. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Eva Bell, Tyler Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Marcellus for being on the show.
Yeah.
Big old booth man.
Stop calling him that.
And most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the Pit Loft. Stay out of the snow. Stay safe, everybody. Good night.
Thanks,
good night,
everybody. Guys. Have a good night. Thanks for listening.
black big couches and